So you know how they put those pithy things on Facebook that are supposed to make you think? One of them actually did. Somebody posted, "What if the only things you have tomorrow are what you were thankful for today?" I thought that was a, you know, pretty good Thanksgiving thing. The only things I have tomorrow are the things I'm thankful for today. So we go around the Thanksgiving table. I don't know if you guys do this, and somebody says what they're thankful for, and a lot of things were missed. So we don't have those anymore. We were thankful for health and for all the people around the table. There were some people who weren't around the table, and I think we weren't thankful for them on purpose. It was a little drama there, but let's see, what else were we thankful for? Well, the roof over your heads, the clothes on your back, right? So I'm not standing here naked today, because I'm thankful for those things. But so this Thanksgiving, the giving of thanks, is a perfect segue into the topic which has been going on since you started it in August. Prayer, because giving thanks is a type of prayer. And also because when Doug texted me yesterday to ask, you know, what's the theme, what's going on, to plan the music, that was the first I knew I was speaking this morning. If I was at Granger Community Church speaking, I wouldn't admit that. If I were at many of the other local churches speaking, I wouldn't admit that. But since I'm here with 12 of my closest friends, I'm going to tell you. And so, of course, if I'm going to speak on prayer, well, I didn't know what I was going to speak on. I started praying. Dear Lord, how did I forget this? First, there was the recrimination. I thought I was checking the spreadsheet on the top of the, but that only went to October, so where would I have known this? Oh, back in September. Didn't you read that? No, I caught in down, I didn't go back up there. Oh, man. Okay, so then the recriminations were over, and I knew the Lord would forgive me, and I knew he would come through anyway. But, you know, sometimes you really need him to come through. So, oh, well, maybe you should get up here. Because I was just really laid out flat, you know? There was the meal and the little drama I alluded to, and drama right on time. And bringing the big table up and getting all the whatchamacallits and coordinating the peeling of the potatoes and all the social and the grandkids, whom I love, but you know, they're a little much. There's the 4-year-old princess and the 2-year-old guy. Buttons, knobs, whatever, you know, so I prayed. And so I've been talking about discipleship and who we are in Christ and what that all means to us as individuals and to us, you know, like as 12 of my best friends. So I started reading through John because it's my favorite gospel, and I couldn't avoid prayer again, and still. We've been talking about what prayer is, and Doug, I think it was last week you focused in on some of the prayers of Jesus. Well, they're all over John, so I'm going to read them this morning, and I'm going to read 4 passages from John and talk about what they reveal to us about what prayer is. And then, since we've been talking about prayer but not really doing prayer together, I thought maybe we could do some corporate prayer. We could communicate with God together. And I know this sounds really dramatic, but I was thinking about how we're all individuals and how being honest before God in prayer is easier for some people than others, and wondering if we turned all the lights off, if that would be helpful. Because we'd know you're still in the room with all these people, but we would also have those senses that kick in when you're not relying on sight. You know how we usually close our eyes in prayer anyway? Why do we do that? You don't have to do that. But I think we might do that because it helps us invoke our spiritual imagination, just to kind of hunker down. So we might turn the lights off, if you're okay with that. It's kind of weird. Okay. I'm going to start with John 12, verses 20 through 30. This is right after Jesus goes into Jerusalem for the Passover. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the Passover festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip, in turn, told Jesus. "Guys, I'd like to see you." Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell to you," I'm telling you the truth, I'm not lying, "unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their own life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternity. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled, and what can I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Instead, I'll say, Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven. "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd that was there and heard it, they said to each other, "Did you hear that thunder?" And others said, "No, I heard the voice of God. It spoke to him." And Jesus said, "This voice, it was for your benefit, not mine. This voice, it was for your benefit, not mine." So I don't know if we normally read this as a prayer, you know, "Father, glorify yourself." He's starting out talking to these guys who want to come to him, but I think it's really a non sequitur when they say, "We want to see Jesus." And they walk in and, I don't know, is he preaching or what? "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." But then he ends that thing with, "Now my soul is troubled." So here he is in Jerusalem, it's Passover, there are crowds, there are people who want to see Jesus because, you know, he's the thing, he's the fad du jour. And he says, "Am I going to ask God to take this whole thing away from me? No, I'm going to say, Father, glorify your name." And then Jesus says, "This voice was not voice was for your benefit, mine not mine." And I pondered, why would he say that? Why was this voice for the benefit of the crowd and not him? And then it hit me. It's because Jesus knows that he knows. He expects that he expects. He's got this solid down. When he speaks to God, God hears him. He's heard. Do we feel when we talk to God like God hears us? Hands down, no issues, no, you know, maybe I feel like I'm praying to the ceiling, but do you know that God hears you? If God had to speak, it would be for someone else's benefit, not yours, because you know, like Jesus knew right here, God hears him. He heard it. You know, tell those other guys that you heard me, but I gotcha. Then let's go backwards to the Lazarus story. I just want to point out in John chapter 11, 41. John chapter 11, 41. It's the same thing here. So, and I read this whole passage and realized that when they come to tell Jesus where he's hanging out, that Lazarus is in immediate peril, mortal peril. Jesus says, okay, I'm going to hang out here a couple extra days. Like, who does that when their friend is dying? But he did. So then he shows up, and he says to the people, didn't I tell you that if you believe, you'll see the glory of God? And Martha's still going, the guy stinks. I wouldn't roll that stone away. So Jesus insists, and they took away the stone. And then Jesus looks up. How many of us look up when we're in a posture of prayer? But he's looking up, and he says, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. You always hear me. But I'm making a point of it for these people who didn't know that Lazarus was going to come forth. He doesn't say it that way. That's me. Here's how he says it, or how John says that he said it. Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this out loud for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. Once again, there is no doubt to Jesus that his Father, our Father, hears us. Our Father hears us. And this caused me to think, I wonder why we've been in the habit of praying in Jesus' name. I know Jesus asks us to pray in his name, but do we sometimes pray in his name because we think God forgot who we are? I have to pray in Jesus' name because Laura Geckler is not known to God. So I want to tell you, you are known to God. You're known to God, whether you pray in Jesus' name or not, Chris. You are known to God. He hears your prayers. It doesn't matter if you don't feel like it or if you just did some heinous sin or a felonious crime. You know, he hears you. He hears it. And Jesus is again making that point with all these people who are going, it's weird. They rolled the stone away and Lazarus came out. But it was a God thing. We know it was a God thing because Jesus looks up and says, Father, you know, it was more making the point, right? Jesus is heard. God always hears. John chapter 14, verses 5-14 makes another big point that lends itself to prayer. And these are all the words of Jesus. 14:5. I don't usually start this passage there, but this is where Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way to follow you there? And Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the way. Oh, just follow you. Got it. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you will know my Father as well. If you really knew me, you will know my Father as well. We try to imagine who God is, and Jesus is just saying, you know, just imagine me as God. Is that weird? I mean, he says, if you really knew me, you'll know my Father as well. We're like each other. We're twins. We're symbiotic. We're God. From now on, you do know him. From now on, you know him. He's talking to Thomas and his disciples. From now on, you know him. Why do you know him? Because you know me. You've met me. You've met me, and so you've seen him. You've met God. What does that mean for us hundreds of years later, you know? I mean, we can't say we touched his human skin. We can't say we walked with him and heard him tell bad jokes. But have we met him through the witness of those who met him, through the witness of those who met him, through the witness of those who met him? And, you know, finally, we each have unique experiences or manifestations or relationships. We each have unique communication with him, just like we do with each other. He doesn't change, we do. My communication with Jacob today may not be like our relationship 10 years from now, but I'll still know you, I think, because of the ears, probably. No, never mind. I don't know where that came from. So this is the part where Jesus says, I do whatever you ask. He's saying to his disciples, I will do whatever you ask me in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And you can ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. And maybe one of the other preaching type people will take this up at another time, because I don't know what it means when it says you may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. But I just want us all to remember that when we pray, if we choose to pray in Jesus' name, it would be for this reason and not because God doesn't know you. He knows you. You're only praying in Jesus' name because you're really desperate to have Jesus intercede and have this right, good, perfect thing you're praying for come to pass. So that is John 11:41 and John 14:5-14. So I'm going to end with John 15:12-15. Jesus speaking again. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I learned from my Father I've made known to you. You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. This is my command: love each other. Back again to prayer. Jesus says, if we've met him, we know the Father. So our challenge today is, how do we meet Christ? And how do we put ourselves in that communication? Because that's really what prayer is, right? It's communication. It's communication. It's communication. There's nothing special about prayer except you're communicating with a divine being. That's what's so special. Otherwise, it's just communication. You're communicating with a divine being with the assurance that you are being heard. So this is where the MGM version of this would be all like, whoa, right? Because an ordinary human being known by God by name, you met, is communicating with not just any divine being, but with the Most High God. The Most High God. And I got to think that we're not like really thinking about who we're talking to, because, not because we don't understand this friendship thing, right? Jesus says, you're not a servant, you're my friend. You can like deal with me in a friendship-based way. So I don't want to go with the, oh, too much. You know, it's not like I always have to be on bended knee, but you should sometimes. It's not like I always need to be face planted, but you know, sometimes times calls for it, and that's the way you are really talking to your friends. But when we are talking, communicating with someone who knows who we are, in this way, just like you talk to a friend, we're talking to a friend because a friend is a person, right? I was reading this pathetic book where somebody said their best friend was a turtle. And I thought, you know, how do you talk to a turtle? Why would you call a best friend your turtle? What kind of a poor person in life is there that his closest friend is a turtle? I thought, you know, you talk to a friend about just about anything. It was not a ninja turtle. It was just like a regular turtle. It was in an aquarium he kept in his bedroom, you know, and he'd get the turtle out and talk to him. Like, you wouldn't know if the turtle heard you. You're not the turtle. Does the turtle think of you as his friend? I don't know. It just kind of like, ugh. So you're talking prayer. Maybe we should just say I'll pray. We'll just get rid of the verb pray, right? And we'll just use talk, ask, request, yell, scream. You know, like regular conversation. If you were a writer, those are the words you'd use. Beg, plead, those are good ones too. Give thanks. Appreciate. Say wow. When you did the wow thing during your music there, I was thinking of football games. People don't think of all that as worship, but you know what? I think sometimes it is. All that, yay team, go, is kind of like worship. So the point I'm trying to make here is it's about a relationship. It's about the Son being in the Father hearing all the time the Son. Anybody that's connected to the Son, like you and me, are connected to the Father. We know the Father. We can talk to him just like a friend. We can ask Jesus for just about anything. And it's not like a weird thing. It's communication. The last point is that we're not talking to a turtle. I knew I was coming back to the turtle. While that's obvious, it is in the ether around us to substitute cosmos or universe for the person of God. So we have to remember that God is a person and he's personal, which is why we can say, through Jesus, we've met him. And we've met Jesus through people who've met Jesus through people who've met Jesus. We will have Jesus manifest that communication in us and through us. And you might all have experiences like that right now. And if you're as bad of a memory as I have, you need to write those down. So anytime you think that you've had like some kind of epiphany that doesn't normally happen when you're talking to God, write it down, because you'll forget about it. Even if you end up being one of those saints like Mother Teresa who have God's response to them manifest all the time, you should write it down. A lot of us probably pray, we talk to God a lot more than we think we do, but since we're usually just groaning, we don't, you know, it's just a chat with our friend. Write it down.
I sell journals.
She sells journals. And remember, you are talking to a person. You are not talking to the universe or to the cosmos. And if you send good thoughts out into the universe or the cosmos, maybe you should go ahead and go the extra thing. It depends on the situation and who you're telling, but you might say, I know a guy. I'll talk to him about your problem. I'm not going to send good thoughts into the universe, but I know a guy. With that, did I use up all the time, or can we pray together? Do you want me to turn the lights off? I'm going to go off mic for those of us maybe listening after the fact. In this recording, you won't get our prayers together, and you won't get our communion, but we love you, and we're glad you listened to this.